Okay. All right. Let's just assume that this is all working. So, this is a Paris Catacombs part two, and I remember to type up a hook. The Paris Catacombs are a great example of the memento mori attitudes of the 18th and 19th centuries. It is also often regarded as one of the world's most haunted locations. What ghosts might reside within its dark, dangerous corridors? Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Odd Anthropology. This is a two-episode month. Off to a good start. This is part two on the Paris Catacombs. Tayshia, my name's Ivy, and Tayshia is with me. Tayshia, how...
That's me.
how are you doing on this fine August day?
I am doing all right. It's fighting the line between, like, it's cool in the morning, but then it gets obnoxiously hot by the, midday. But then it was, mm-hmm. Nice and cool again when I was outside while the kids were jumping on the trampoline. And so, I mean, I can feel fall in the air. She's coming.
Fall is coming. I don't know how I live under a rock, apparently, because I've totally missed people calling it Ogtober.
Oh, I've never heard that either.
Okay, good. I was like, how have I never heard of Ogtober?
Well, I mean, and then it'll go for it.
I was gonna say, what do we call September then? September. Okay, so that's not the point. I actually, speaking of autumn being in the air, I did light a Yankee candle. Yes, bougie, I know. And it's the sunlit autumn scent. So I'm also really trying to embrace the autumn vibes, even though summer is not over yet.
No. My husband and I, we got married in August. And I remember when I was talking to my mom about it way back, like before we actually got married, I was like, oh, August will be nice. You know, it'll be cooling down for fall. And my mom was like, I don't understand why everyone thinks August is fall. It is still summer. And I was like, just let me live in my autumn dreams.
Ignorance is bliss, okay? Like, let me have this. Sometimes I need a little delusion, okay?
See, we would have liked to have gotten married in fall, but it just didn't work out. For my husband's job at the time, he was very busy in the fall, so August was our best option.
Should have told him to just quit his job. Been like, do you even love me? Just quit your job. Actually, you could have gotten married in the Paris Catacombs. Ooh. And had a bunch of ghosts there to attend, as of course I will be talking about for this episode, which yeah. I suppose I'll go ahead and jump right in. First, a quick kind of correction to make for part one. I mentioned that the catacombs, which again, weren't really catacombs, that they were mined to look for well water. But I also learned since then that it was also for, just literally the stone itself, which honestly makes so much sense considering how much stone was removed. I'm not the brightest of bulbs, but, you know, Pobody's nerfed. I was like, oh, that actually really tracks that they were just mining the stone. Actually, I'm having deja vu. Maybe I did mention that in the episode.
I think you did just say water, because I finally just recently listened to the episode. I had forgotten that it came out. And so I was like, oh, I should listen to that. And and I was like, oh, I asked a question. Oh, look at me asking questions. And then, I remembered you saying that you thought it was just water. But you said you weren't sure. You didn't, claim it.
There, I gave myself an out. So yes. If someone's like, actually, they were mining the stone to build with, I can be like, actually, well, I said that I wasn't sure. So with that out of the way, let's get to the ghosts. So, Tayshia, have you heard of any of the ghostly stories from the catacombs? Slash, do you think that it could be haunted?
I don't think I have heard of any, but I could definitely see where it would be haunted based on just, I mean, the rumors slash unknownness of if people like have gotten lost and died down there. I know you kind of covered that in the last episode. But then even just the fact that there are human remains down there and there could be spirits attached to them.
The bone status. I agree. And I've always heard that they're haunted. I know I've mentioned this before on the podcast, super into the paranormal. I love ghost hunting and I've always heard about it. And I always see it on like, you know, the top 10 or top 20 most haunted places in the world lists. But I will say, before I get too into this, I was kind of disappointed in how much information I wasn't finding. I was like, okay, so for all the people that are like, this is the most haunted place, I guess it's more of a just trust me, bro, for the most part. But I mean, yeah, like you said, it makes sense. It's a place just like full of, you know, death, full of bones of what was the number I threw out in the last episode? Like 6 million people at least or something like that.
I think so, yeah.
And when it comes, you know, just from my experience as a paranormal investigator, especially pertaining to my interest in burial grounds, I know that there is a lot of beliefs around, like, cemeteries or burial grounds, ossuaries, etc., and the paranormal. And a lot of people in the paranormal have this theory that they're not really haunted because why would someone's spirit just stay with their bones when they could instead go to places or people of importance to them during their life or move on to, you know, insert your religion's afterlife? But in a lot of belief systems, just across countless cultures, there are guardian spirits or even guardian deities at places of the dead whose job is to welcome new arrivals, see that they can move on, and to protect their final resting place. A really cool example, I think it's called the Church Grim, is found in various folklores, I think like in Scotland and some of the Nordic countries. It's a large black phantom dog that protects churchyards and has glowing eyes.
Yes, I was just gonna say, I knew that. Yeah, like a lot of the times people were like, oh well, we don't want to have to have one person be in charge of this, so they would bury a dog on the grounds first so that the dog would be the gatekeeper of the cemetery.
I don't know how true it is, but I've heard that the Victorians, according to them, folklore stated that sometimes the dogs were buried alive.
Oh, no.
I'm going to tell myself that's Victorian myth because the Victorians loved to just make stuff up. So, and they always made it scary. So that's what I'm going to tell myself. Anyways, that's a depressing topic. But yeah, so cemetery guides, cemetery spirits, there's deities who, especially when it comes to babies and children, there's a belief in deities whose job is to guide them into the afterlife once they've been, you know, buried in a cemetery. So who knows? Everyone's got their own beliefs on that. And you know, it's an excuse for me to talk about some anthropology of the paranormal. So I will always bring this up whenever I can. Now on to some of the actual paranormal claims that people do make here, which wasn't as much as I thought it would be, again, for everyone and their mom being like, oh my God, it's so freaking haunted. Orbs is a big claim here. If you are unfamiliar with the paranormal, orbs are believed to be these balls of, spirit energy that most commonly show up in photos and videos. And unfortunately, most of the time, what people are seeing is just dust and dirt, dandruff particles, etc., being illuminated by a camera's flash. Tayshia's just like sitting there shaking her head, like, yep, yep. So that is one of the most common things that I'll see here, especially looking into some of the reviews that I was coming across for the catacombs, pictures from tourists, like, oh my gosh, captured all these orbs, can't believe it. And it's like, well, you're in a tunnel that's literally nothing but dirt. So I think it might just be the dirt, not to be a Debbie Downer. People also report phantom voices. Again, not to be a Debbie Downer, but echoes travel really far in environments like this. In part one, we learned that there's an entire business around sneaking into off-limits areas of the catacombs. So you never know what living people might be lingering about, and even hiding to avoid getting caught trespassing, which that's, to me, more scary than the idea of I'm down there with a ghost. I'd rather be down there with like 100 ghosts than like a group of people I can't see that are hiding from me.
Agreed.
Speaking of people in the catacombs, phantom footsteps are also heard. Same logic applies. Might be the footsteps of sneaky little cataphiles running about, but who knows?
How far down are the catacombs? Like, would there be any, like, surface noise that could be heard?
I can't remember the exact distance. I know it's a pretty good chunk. I think you get some decent city muffling, which is one of the eerie factors down there, is that it can be really dead quiet because you're not hearing anything from the surface. Like, I've heard people say, you know, if someone, you know, this is really dark, but if someone murders you in the catacombs and you're screaming, people above you aren't going to be able to hear you. Mm. So
I suppose they don't want them to collapse, so they don't want it to be.
Yeah. Something that is a little bit harder to naturally debunk, though, is a lot of visitors report being touched by unseen forces. The only debunking I can come up with is cobwebs touching you, muscle twitches. If you're kind of like a little bit jumpy, a little bit nervous, you're kind of scared, little things can startle you and come across as more than they were. But I'm someone who has personally experienced this at haunted locations. Tayshia, have you ever been touched by a ghost? And I realize this is an incredibly odd question to ask. Hey, has a ghost ever touched you?
Unfortunately not. Despite my best efforts, not yet.
Please, ghosts. Just a little pat on the shoulder.
I was going to ask you, speaking of like the spiderwebs, cobwebs thing, have you heard like the, I don't know if it's a theory or like, but the like electric spiderwebs that sometimes get felt like when the paranormal is, or like when spirits are present?
Yeah, are you kind of talking about, it'll almost be like a static charge in the air kind of like, a thing.
And people but think it's like spider webs, so they're like trying to wipe it off of their face or wherever they like felt it walk through. But so I was like, oh, I wonder if that's kind of similar, if it could be trying to push more of an actual paranormal.
I mean, I kind of experienced, I wouldn't say that. I had like a weird static thing happen. This was only a year or so ago. And okay, I'm outing myself. I'm on TikTok, everybody, okay? I'm a millennial. I post TikTok silly little videos. Come at me. But I was filming just like some random TikTok. I can't remember what it was about.
Oh,
but
when I
went
this.
Back, yeah, when I went back to edit it, literally a strand of my hair like lifts up from my head. And so of course, being like, when it comes to my paranormal interests, I'm very like debunking based, because a lot of normal things get mistaken for paranormal. And so I'm like, okay, like there's no draft coming in through these windows because we live in a drafty old house and it's cold and I had to tape around the borders. And that room, also being an old house, that room didn't have a vent. And the air wasn't kicked on in the rest of the house. And I'm like, okay, if a draft came in under the door, I don't think it would have been enough to pick up a single strand of hair on the back of my head. It was so bizarre.
Do you still have that one on your TikTok?
I think so. It should be. And if it's not on there, TikTok likes to randomly remove videos and be like, you violated community guidelines, even when you most certainly didn't. I definitely have it on my phone. I'll have to post it. And
yes.
to all of the skeptical listeners right now who only want to listen to us for like, here is the history. I'm so sorry. I know I sound really woo-woo, but...
Hey, we're on the odd part.
But heavy on the odd, all caps, anthropology in tiny parentheses below. Also, in my defense, like, humans have always believed in the other. And so why not just kind of have fun with it, you know?
Absolutely, absolutely.
When we recorded Loch Ness Monster, I'm like, is she real? No, but also yes. Also, the Loch Ness Monster is real, so, because why not? Anyways, let's see. Here's a more specific spirit. In part one, I mentioned the first documented death in the Paris catacombs, at least that we know of and that I came across in my sources, which was a doorman working at the neighboring hospital who passed away in 1793. And he is regarded as the catacombs' most prominent resident spirit who has allegedly been seen lingering about, especially around the anniversary of his disappearance and death, which had happened in early November. So each November, people seem to be seeing him more, almost as if the event is kind of playing on a loop, meaning it could be what we refer to as a residual haunting, or the belief that energies of people and events, the emotions, can imprint on a surrounding area, which is also in line with the stone tape theory, which is basically that residual hauntings are imprinted in, you guessed it, stone, which again, I mean, what are the catacombs made of other than bones? Stones and dirt and probably some rats and some bats and mushrooms, we learned in part one, mushroom farms down there. So this all tracks. And I guess that kind of circles back to you bringing up the whole like energy cobweb kind of sensation some people feel on their skin, that like static. I wonder if that kind of plays in with this kind of residual trapped energy theory of the stone tape theory.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
Let's come up with our own theory and let's like repackage this and rename it and we'll get back to everyone about it. So, this next part is kind of creepy. I think I brought this up in the last episode. Have you ever seen the movie As Above, So Below?
No, but maybe you, I think you texted me about it because I remember I looked it up and saw that it was about the catacombs.
Yeah, I know any fans of that movie have been like waiting this whole time, ants in their pants waiting for me to bring it up. So there's a very famous and eerie story from the Paris catacombs having to do with a supposed camcorder with footage from a lone explorer who appears disoriented and frightened, and who also appears to just end up vanishing. People find the camera. They watch this back. They're like, oh my gosh, what happened to him? There's a lot of theories. Of course, the implications are maybe some evil, malevolent, unseen forces. The ghosts of the catacombs took him. Some people wonder if he was just disoriented from the lack of oxygen, dehydration. And that's why he drops his camera and goes off somewhere to never be seen again, apparently. But I will say that this whole story in and of itself gives urban legend. There's not a lot of credibility to it, but it still got enough traction that this supposed footage would inspire a found footage film, As Above, So Below, which was released in 2014. A very creepy movie, which I actually have not seen for myself. Please don't come after me. And when reading about the Paris Catacombs online, you'll come across a lot of people today still saying, like, oh, I would never go in the Paris Catacombs. I've seen As Above, So Below. So it really had a big, like, pop culture moment and an impact on how people view the catacombs today. When a lot of people hear the Paris Catacombs, that's where their mind goes. Again, probably more urban legend than anything else. Or maybe I just tell myself that because I don't like the idea of us visiting the catacombs someday and then, like, dropping our phones and they clatter to the ground in shaky video, and then you can see us getting dragged off into the distance by invisible forces. Or that creepy statue that I talked about that's coming out of the wall. Maybe he's snatching people up. Who knows?
Who knows?
So for the most part, this was it that I could find paranormal-wise for the catacombs. But before I end this episode, I saved, personally, what I find the best story for last. I did tease it in the very end of the first part. It doesn't involve ghosts, but it is haunting in the sense that it is a wee bit disturbing and it haunts my memory since reading about it. And so I'm going to talk even more about it. And it has to do with corpse wax, also as previously discussed in that episode, because allegedly, when bodies were being exhumed to be taken to the newly established ossuary, there were these large deposits of corpse wax in the ground that locals would harvest from the cemetery and use to make candles and soaps. Ooh, how fun. We love it. And I came across a newspaper clipping from October 30th, so the day before Halloween, ooh, All Hallows Eve, 1852, published in the Scientific American. And I'm going to try to read this. Bear with me, it's old-timey language, so no promises. Human fat candles and soap. When the Cemetery of the Innocents at Paris was removed to the outside of the barriers, the buried corpses, which had accumulated to the depth of 60 feet, were found, to a great extent, apparently converted into fat. The substance of the skin, cellular tissues and tendons, all the soft parts, and even the bones had completely disappeared, leaving only the fat, which, resisting longest the influence of decay, remained in the form of margaric acid? This human fat was employed to the extent of many tons by the soap boilers and tallow chandlers of Paris for the manufacture of soap and candles. The French are a people of fine sentiment, and they clearly carried the quality to a charming point of reflection in receiving light from candles made out of the bodies of their fathers. We loathe the cannibal, but civilization has features which, if not rendered familiar, would be as repulsive as the practices of the savage. Oh, okay.
Bravo.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, everybody. I will be here all day. Not really, though. We're probably going to be done recording soon because I'm nearing the end of my notes. So I just want your initial thoughts on that. Tayshia, how do you feel about corpse wax candles and soaps? Would you use corpse wax soap and candles?
I feel like if it was someone I knew, I would be more comfortable with it. But that also is like, well, I guess, I don't know. I guess that has that like memento mori, like, I would say it feels very Victorian, like this is something that they would be all over.
The candles I vibe a little more with. Again, if it's like, if someone straight up donated their body and said, like, make a candle out of me, that's kind of cool. If it was a loved one and they're like, make a candle out of me, that's kind of cool. Someone can make a candle out of me someday, that's kind of cool. The soap, however.
That one I'm not so sure I would
want. Yeah, no thanks.
I don't need grandpa soap.
I mean, no one really likes getting those little, like, decorative. Like, here's your little fancy, like, heavily rose-scented soap that I got you for Christmas. And you're like, oh, thank you. So I will say about this article and these statements, this could also be legend. Like I stated earlier, the Victorians did often just make stuff up, especially about people of the past. They loved to view everyone before them as archaic, as being weird and grotesque. And every single article that I came across which mentioned the making of soap and candles from corpse wax in Paris cited the same source, which was the article clipping that I just read. So it's like, that's the earliest thing I could find is this article clipping from the late 1800s. So I'm not sure if this is true or not. If a French person is listening and has access to better records and stuff than me, let us know if this is true. Are all French people still using corpse wax soap to this day? Who knows? I've never been. I wouldn't be surprised, though, if at least one person, when they were doing exhuming the graves there and moving the bones, if someone was like, that's a nice little glob of corpse wax. I could turn that into a candle. Like, I wouldn't be surprised if it happened on, like, a small scale, but I don't think it was, like, a literal ton and big manufacturers were getting buckets of it.
Bath and Body Works is Bath and Body Works candle Bath corpse and body candles.
Pretty sure. It puts the body in Bath and this Bath and Body Works.
Please don't sue us, Bath and Body Works.
That's what they use for all their little, like, wax scent things for your cars. And, oh, no, all the soaps. But I like Bath and Body Works.
Wait, their Halloween stuff. Is it coming out yet?
Okay, Halloween 2025, Bath and Body Works collabs with Odd Anthropology for the corpse wax line. Yes! Wow. Initially, I was going to say, like, oh, sorry, I'm ending on such a dark note, everybody, with, like, corpse wax soap. But actually, this was a great note to end on. Thank you, Tayshia.
No problem.
It's only the worst thing I've ever heard in my life. Let us know. Will you be purchasing our Bath & Body Works Odd Anthropology collab line? Would you burn a corpse wax candle? Will you let someone turn you into soap someday? Let us know, please. Tayshia, do you have anything you want to add? I think we need to go to sleep.
I was going to say, yeah, we decided to try a late night recording, and it's just about 10 o'clock my time. So.
Oh, it's almost 8 o'clock for me, but I need everyone to know that I am a grandma. I went to a concert last night. And I was just like, I'm getting too old for this, everybody. Like, that concert was over. I skedaddled home so fast. I took a shower. I got in my comfy bed with my kitties. Thank you, everybody, for listening. We hope you have a great night after listening to this episode. Be sure to go follow us on Instagram at Odd Anthropology. You can find us on Substack at Odd Anthropology. You can find us on Facebook at Odd Anthropology. And YouTube. Don't forget to leave a... Oh, and YouTube! Odd Anthropology! We don't do, like, fun videos yet, but you can listen to us on there if you want to. And leave a rating and review, pretty please. And, yep, that's all I got. I'm really tired.
I think that's all of them.
All right. Yeah, I know I'm, like, counting on my fingers. Like, how many platforms are we on? Wait. All right. Thank you for listening, everybody. And tune in next time. Bye-bye.
Bye.